Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, coming to you this Friday. Pelicans are off today, but it is not good news in this Friday, this Mardi Gras Friday, day after the DeMarcus Cousins debut, as the Pelicans fall to the Rockets 129-99, a 30-point blowout, really, that looks pretty bad. I'd say the hype all of a sudden just hit a wall when it comes to the New Orleans Pelicans. So today's episode, we're going to break down this game. Just that's it. Focus on that. Talk about what went well, what didn't. A lot didn't, but it's not what you think. You know, when you look at this, it's not like, oh my God, the pairing of Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins is a disaster. The issues that hit this team last night are ones that shouldn't necessarily be surprising, and of course there's an injury to top it all off, but the pairing of Davis and Cousins did well. It's just the rest of the roster did not, and we kind of knew this, that all of a sudden this team was thin on the perimeter, where basically you have three guards in Jrue Holiday, Etuan Moore, and Tim Frazier. And before the game, Alvin Gentry said that Solomon Hill, you know, the Pelicans' big money signing from this past offseason, designed to be their small forward or small ball four, he was going to have to play some two. Omri Caspi was going to have to play some shooting guard there, play the two for the Pelicans, because they're so thin in that area and they need shooting. Obviously, you know, Hollis Thompson was signed for this reason. He was there last night. But it, you know, and he got a little bit of time on the court, but it's going to take a little bit. This is also the worst possible matchup for the Pelicans. So we'll talk about all this today and we'll dive into it in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So a little bit of background to put this game kind of in perspective here was this Rockets team is probably the worst matchup for the Pelicans, at least to try and kick off the new era of Boogie and the Brow, Fire and Ice, or the Beasts of Bourbon, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, I got asked a couple times about this yesterday. I did a TV segment. I was on the radio a bunch. And one of the things that everyone brought up every time was basically, last time these two teams played, the Rockets set a record for three-pointers made and three-pointers attempted. Now, with Davis and Cousins, you know, they can step out onto the perimeter and try and defend a three, whether it's after a switch or just in transition or what have you. But that's not ideal. So their perimeter defense was always going to be tested with, you know, Solomon Hill and Jrue Holiday basically being the focal points of that, and didn't do a good job. Eric Gordon took 11 uncontested three-pointers, which is a lot. Or not all three-pointers, but they were all uncontested. So this is a rough matchup that picking up Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins and putting them into the lineup together wasn't necessarily going to be able to fix. The other biggest question, really, that it seemed was, can Alvin Gentry is Alvin Gentry the right head coach for this team? Or would they obviously maybe be better with Monty Williams as head coach? This is probably Monty Williams' ideal kind of starting five and lineup and getting close to that type of roster. But that was a question. Can Alvin Gentry really be a successful head coach of these two bigs here in Cousins and Davis? And I had to point out to a lot of people, you do some research and you'll see here. If you go back, remember, he was with the Clippers before he went to Golden State and won a title there. And he you know, coached, of course, I space on everyone, DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin to a large degree of success, along with their point guard, Chris Paul. And go back even further to his time with the Suns. He went to a Western Conference Finals with Amare Stoudemire and Marcin Gortat. Gortat's a big, slow center, big guy. He can coach these two guys and be successful with it. He's been around the league long enough that it's not like it's only 7 seconds or less when it comes to him. So, you know, he tried to downplay it. So did Cousins, the effect and impact that this would immediately have on the team, saying it's going to be there's going to be a bit of a learning period. But, you know, when you look at the way the game shook down, you had Anthony Davis with 29 points, DeMarcus Cousins with 27. They combined for 23 rebounds. And they went to the line 21 times. Early in the game, DeMarcus Cousins was drawing a lot of fouls. So obviously that side of the experiment worked. They got their minutes. With Davis playing 33, Cousins playing 34 and a half. Davis probably being pulled early because of the blowout. So you can see this is probably still going to work. Now, they had no help really from anyone else. The only other Pelican to score in double figures was Omri Caspi, who, by the way, does need to be said, broke his thumb. Looks like he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks, which basically just takes him out for the rest of the season, more or less. So the Pelicans already thin on the perimeter and expecting Caspi to be a key contributor. He played, 23, 24 minutes last night. They're out there. So the problem is you probably want to bring Caspi back next season. You have his bird rights, so you're not really going to waive him and try and bring in another person, and they're just going to kind of still have to be thin. Hollis Thompson was signed. They're going to bring in supposedly another guard. Jared Jack is the one that's been rumored with that. I would assume that's just for locker room presence and not for actual on-court play. But now all of a sudden, you kind of need to, look and see who's available and maybe not bring in Jack just to be a locker room guy. But basically, they got no help outside of DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. Solomon Hill, your starter, scored 3. Etwan Moore scored a total of 6. 9 points between 2 other starters. Not good. Jrue Holiday played 35 minutes, the most for the Pelicans last night. This is why the team lost. This one's like on no one else but Holiday. If he doesn't have as bad of a game, it's at least closer and maybe they have a chance of winning. And you're going to look at me and be like, well, one guy's not going to cause a 30-point swing. Well, when you are 3 for 12 from the field, including 0-6 from three-point range, and you have 4 total assists, 7 turnovers, and score 6 total points and are a minus 31 on the night. Well, yeah, maybe you are. Holiday looked just atrocious, really. There's no other way to put it. That's the worst game I've seen him play in New Orleans, and I don't really know what went on there. Whether it was shaking off rust or just really unsure of what to do with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis there, Holiday tried to dribble through traffic so incredibly often, which is what led to a lot of the turnovers. His handle was really off because even when he had space and was dribbling, he'd dribble it off of his foot. A lot of those were live ball turnovers. As you hear David Wesley constantly try and point out on the broadcast, if you get to watch it and weren't there in person, these live ball turnovers end up in Rockets' hands, which lead to turnovers. Now, this is kind of a normal thing. Think about when the big three in Miami all got together for their first game. It was, or just like the first month, they struggle. When LeBron went back to Cleveland, they lost their first game. Golden State struggled with easing Durant in this year and kind of figuring out the roles. And the Pelicans didn't even have an offseason to handle all of this sort of thing. They had they've had one practice with DeMarcus Cousins where they had to get just some stuff in there to try and make it work for him. So the offense was going to be out of sync, discombobulated of sorts, and it doesn't help when your point guard, in who's considered to be the other main guy of your big three, which I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter of people being like, no, he's not a part of a big three, so bad. Chill, one game. Yeah, I get losing by 30 at home after your big free agent signing is bad. And this Rockets team is very good. Look, 30's really bad. Let's make no mistake. It has nothing to do with the Rockets here. But 30 is just bad and a bad look, especially because you have this excitement. And I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over the place here. But Holiday's still part of the big three. You know, there's no doubt about that. I'd written about it in the 13 games leading up to the All-Star break. He'd been playing exceptional. He, of all the people on this roster, is in a different role than he was before. He's going to get fewer shots. He's going to get fewer points. He's going to be asked to pass and distribute a little bit more than the attacking mindset he'd been in. And if you're him, it's going to take a while to figure this out. I'll tell you this. At practice the other day, in warm-ups last night, dude had the biggest smile on his face, like he is excited, though. So despite his role changing, I think he'll be okay. So it was the second and third quarters where the Pels really lost this game, with them combining in the second and third quarter to score 39 points while the Rockets scored 70. So basically being doubled, more or less. That'll do it. Rockets went on 20 to, I think it was 4 or 6 run in the second quarter, basically, and that's when this game blew open. They had 34 fast break points. Remember when I was being really excited about getting 20 for the Pelicans, which was one of the higher marks in the league? 34. Pels had 20 turnovers. This is why you start to see this game be a blowout. Turnovers leading to easy fast break points for the Houston Rockets. And with three-point shooters like they have on this team, and they attempted 51 three-pointers, it's rough. They made 20 of them. Pelicans made 6 of 31 for 19.4%, while Houston shot near 40 at 39.2%. At a certain point, it's just math. And 6 three-pointers to 20, that's a lot, man. That's a huge, huge difference all of a sudden. And like I said, a lot of those were uncontested. But if you told me James Harden was going to score 13 points, I thought the Pelicans were going to win. But overall, look, this team is still just a work in progress. We knew this. They need some guard help. The roster is incredibly unbalanced. But cut down on the turnovers, which is something they've been fairly good about all year long. And they really have the team's sixth in turnover percentage on the year. So top 10 when it comes to protecting the ball, all just fell apart last night. I mean, I'm saying the same thing over and over again. I don't really know what else to say when it comes to this. Like, again, you had Cousins and Davis combined for over 50 points. That pairing is going to do some work. What is it, 58 points total? Pretty awesome. That pairing is going to work. You just need to get a little bit of help from other people. Not a ton. Not a ton, mind you. Especially when Holiday comes in and probably kicks in 15 to 17 points, ideally, on any given night. Which, if you keep looking at his play from the post-All-Star break, or right before the All-Star break, he can do. It might not be quite that high, but as long as he's giving assists and sharing the ball around, this team will be okay. It's a really bad matchup for him. And again, Holiday played just so bad last night. It's just a disaster all around. So some more interesting things to kind of take away from this game as we get you ready for the weekend. And I'll talk a little bit about what the Pels are up to this weekend. We get an idea of the rotation and how Alvin Gentry is going to use DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. So they both started together, and Cousins was subbed out, I forget the exact number, 7 or 8 minutes in, leaving Davis on the court. And then a little while later, Cousins checks in for Davis, And basically, you can see, so he's going to play him to start the game, and he's going to play him to close the second quarter. So he's going to try and leave one out there for the most part at all times. So you're going to stagger him. You basically, of the 36 minutes they're likely to play, they'll play about 30 or so together. I saw some complaints on Twitter, people being like, you signed these guys, you traded for Cousins to play with Davis, how come he's not out there? It's a 48-minute game, and they don't play 48 minutes. Come on now. Like, seriously. So they started together, and, you know, in the first quarter, the Pels did quite well, only losing to the Rockets 30-28. And at one point, especially in the beginning, it looked like they might win this, or at least keep it competitive, let's say. Maybe we could jump into win right away is a bit of a stretch, but they look good. So it's going to be that they'll be staggered a little bit, but they're going to play the majority of their time together. And so the plan is probably going to be start them in the first quarter together, sub one out a little bit early, sub him back in for the next one. So let's say Cousins comes out before Davis. Cousins checks in for Davis, and then he'll get some run out, extended run out there himself. And then you close the end of the first half with them both on the court for the final 6, 7, 8 minutes. And then in the second half, again, start them at the third quarter, do the staggering again, and then close and then have them out there to close the fourth quarter, probably the final 8 minutes of it, at least. That's what kind of what I assume. It'll be like 8, 8, 8, 8, somewhere in that range. That puts them at 32 together, which means, you know, there'll be some overlap in that middle range too, between, you know, the start of the half and the end of the half. So both sides of halftime too. So that should be the plan for the rotation. The next big off the bench was Dante Cunningham, which is no real surprise. You can also go small with DeMarcus Cousins out there and use that small ball lineup. But basically the Pels switched to the small ball lineup once DeMarcus Cousins was subbed out with Anthony Davis at center. And while Davis doesn't really only like playing center, and this is why they traded for Cousins, using that as a change of pace lineup and being the second lineup you really throw out there is definitely going to keep opponents off guard. All of a sudden, they're facing an entirely new defensive scheme. They're going to be seeing a very different offense that's trying to play a little bit faster than Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. So it works. You see, all of a sudden, the Pelicans become a whole lot more versatile, which is going to make them just harder to game plan. And there's not a ton of time to phase this in, 24 games left, but you see this should scare opponents, and you know, hopefully it's not too late for the Pels to get into the playoffs playing with this. Donatas Mata-Yunas got some time out there as well. He played about 10 minutes. He's not the worst fourth big to have, really. And again, right now everything's in flux when it comes to the perimeter, but Tim Frazier back on the court playing significant minutes. You figured that would be the case with him being the only other point guard on the roster, but again, he had a bad game. 1-for-6, 0-for-4 from three, and this is all in 23 minutes, about 23 and a half. So, you know, and where's his assist numbers? Five assists. So obviously he didn't have a good shooting game. Basically, they got no offense. Basically, everyone outside of Davis and Cousins and Caspi, for the most part, really struggled to shoot. Tim Frazier had a field goal percentage of 16.7, Holiday of 25%. Etuan Moore shot only 33% on the night. Solomon Hill shot 25%. These are the big dudes who are supposed to get minutes and be your, you know, other key contributors. That's not going to work, but that's also not going to happen. We saw aggressive Solomon Hill before the All-Star break. That needs to come back. Basically, like, as much as I like hate to say, you've just got to kind of ignore this. It's foolish to draw conclusions after one game of the DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis era in New Orleans. And after just one practice, the Pelicans are practicing today on Friday, before, you know, a weekend mini road trip before coming back on Wednesday to play the day after Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras. So, you know, like, it's not, again, it's not the end of the world just yet. Though, you know, as Alvin Gentry said the other day, their margin for error is much lower because the time is ticking. So despite the loss, in some kind of weird good news, it's kind of odd. The Pels are only 2.5 games back of Denver for the 8th seed because Denver played last night and lost to the Sacramento Kings, who are now only a half game back of the 8th seed. And the world is weird. It makes no sense. I don't expect them to stay there, though. So 2.5 games back, 24 to go. Pelicans go to Dallas tomorrow before them making a quick trip over to OKC. Got to win that Dallas game. Winning against OKC would be good, too, but that's going to be quite tough. I'm sure Russell Westbrook is upset that Anthony Davis won All-Star MVP instead of him because he was certainly taking shots to try and steal that from Davis. So I'll be with you guys. You know, Dallas is a much better matchup for them, even with Nerlens Noel being there. OKC is going to be a bit of a tough one because their size is huge after that trade they made at the deadline with the Bulls. They got a lot of scoring. Can the Pels keep up with that? You got to try and shut down Russell Westbrook. But at least got to win that Dallas game, and who knows what will happen with the rest of it. And then they come back home, take on the Pistons the day after Fat Tuesday. If you can go 2-2 or 2-1, let's call it, starting with the Dallas game, with the loss being to OKC, that you'll start to feel good. The Pels are getting some more practices in. They're going to practice, like I said, today. Get some time to talk on the plane about game planning and everything. Only a good thing. So time will tell, but 24 games, it's starting to tick down. So thank you all for listening today. This is, of course, Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Trade deadline just happened. Don't forget to listen to the Locked On NBA National Podcast once a week, recapping all of the deals that got done. Were the Pels the big winners of the trade deadline? I'd certainly say so. Obviously, Pels fans are going to say so. But other people have a different outlook on this. So be sure to listen to that. Don't forget, please subscribe to it on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever. If you can, rate it 5 stars. Follow it on its Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Follow me, your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake. So thank you all for listening this week. Been a lot of fun with having some big news to talk about. We'll recap the games on Monday for you guys. Get you set for Wednesday. We'll still probably come out on Fat Tuesday. I haven't decided just yet. It is like a holiday down here. Most people don't work. So it'll be a lot of fun this weekend with Mardi Gras Parade basketball to watch. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you guys on Monday.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.